Well, I'd like to go ahead and invite Dr. Benson to come on up and share the Word of God. Just a quick note about Dr. Benson. He was my chaplain when I studied at Olivet for a couple of years, and someone that I have greatly admired and whose ministry I have appreciated for many years. And I consider myself very, very blessed to be refreshed and revived in God's Word through Dr. Benson's ministry twice in 1 year. This is a great privilege, so thank you all for being here. Dr. Benson, please come and share.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Good to see you this morning in the Lord's house.
Good to see you this morning in the Lord's house. How's that? That guy was freaking out back there. And he was saying, yeah, I brought my own headset, and he was probably saying immediately, see, his doesn't work at all. But it was user error, yeah, all right. Well, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. I have to say I come this morning with more invigoration than I can remember in a long time. I'm so excited about what God wants to do here this week and this morning, and I'm grateful for that. Very, very, very grateful. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is the testimony of the man born blind. It's just that 8-word phrase, I once was blind, but now I see. I've talked about that for a while, and I might do it again sometime this week. I'm a little wordy, so it's hard for me to get my testimony down to 8 words. Or another way to say it is, I was so messed up, I've got about 38-word sentences. Maybe that's the best way to say it. But I want to say to you, my name is Michael Benson. I'm a grateful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I once was addicted to lust. I was addicted to rebellion. I was addicted to stubbornness, to having to have my own way. But the Lord is helping me to recover from those things, and I'm very grateful for that. And I stand on this truth, that greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I come as an evangelist. I think my role is to recruit. I'm trying to recruit workers for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm trying to do. It's what I'll try to do this week, to recruit workers for the kingdom of God. I have served in a number of places, including being chaplain at Olivet for a number of years. And in the providence of the Lord, he moved me on to something else. John Bowling said, I've had so many jobs, I can't keep a job. And I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, I'm trying to follow it out. And when I was with you, those of you who were there and at the Michigan camp meeting this summer, the Eastern Michigan camp meeting, excuse me, make sure you get that word Eastern in the Michigan. You better get that in there. It'd drop kick me right out of here. Yeah. I used to pastor in Kansas. And in Kansas, they don't call the Arkansas River the Arkansas River. They call it the Arkansas River. And you don't make that mistake there either. So, all right. So anyway, I came to you, and I was doing this work as well as being involved in a church plant called the Salvage Yard Biker Church there in Kankakee. What has transpired since we were together is that I'm getting ready to plant another biker church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I've kind of got that sort of started, quasi-started. I'm starting a new chapter of the priesthood motorcycle ministry, and there in Cincinnati, I'm a little farther along on that. And that church will launch in September. And so you be in prayer about that, if you would, please. Thank you very much. All right. Now, the scripture this morning is found in the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew and the 20th chapter, the book of Matthew. While you're finding your place, let me just comment, if I could, about something that came to my mind while the pastor was asking you to pray about what the Lord would have you to do in the Thanksgiving offering. He didn't put me up to this. It just came to me while I was sitting there. Of late, I have been trying to think through what really does it mean, the prophecy of Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now, I guess we have to decide whether we're in the last days or not. Some of you would say we are. And so, if you think that, then the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all flesh is started. Sons and daughters prophesy. That's a word we don't hear much in our circles. Isn't that right? Say amen there. I'm not trying to say we should, though I think we should, but I'm just saying we don't hear that much. And young men shall see visions. When was the last time, really, that a young man stood up and said, this is what I've seen? Most likely we would boot him right out. Okay, maybe we wouldn't boot him out, but we'd be a little suspect. Of course, that's the point of dreaming dreams. Not everybody dreams the dream. So somehow you have to have some sort of standing or stature among the church folk, that when that guy says he's dreaming the dream, I've seen a vision, we need to hear it. We need to allow him to talk it out. Now, the reason I say this is I'm back to this thing about the offering. If you're going to ask God, really, if look at me, if you're going to ask God to help you with the offering, expect that he will say to you what you should do. Expect it. Say, I will expect it. Say it. We do not serve a God of wood or stone. We serve a living God, a speaking God. He has gone on record to make himself known. He didn't stop. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Say amen. And the God who speaks, the God who leads, the God who led all the Bible characters, all the Christians in the past, guess what? He will speak to you in your home. I didn't get much of an amen there. I should expect you to say that as I'm preaching for the offering here. You're kind of paid to say amen, but hey, are you hearing me? All right, now that's a free sermon. Here we go with this one, that's not so free. Matthew 20. The kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard, and after agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, I'm at Matthew 20, now at verse 3, when he went out about 9 o'clock, excuse me, let me just start over, I think I've stopped in there, messed up. For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a usual daily wage, he sent them out to work in his vineyard. And when he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. And then he went out again about noon, and he went out again about 3 o'clock, and about 5 o'clock he went out and did the same. And said to them, why are you standing here idle all day. And they said, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers. And he gave them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those who were hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought, oh, we'll receive more. But each of them received the usual daily wage. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, the last worked only an hour. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same amount I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. I would admit to you that most of the time I read this story, I think that the message of this story is about agreeing to get what you said and allowing the Lord to give what he wants to give to somebody else. I have sometimes, Pastor, I have, I know you, I'm sure you hadn't, but I have wondered, why does that guy get all this stuff? Why does, and I've been after it working as long as he has, and I make these little comparisons. Anybody else live at that address? And so I, you know, I kind of think that sometimes, and probably I've thought that most of the time I've read this story. But I have been caught at the early part of this story, and I want to work with that. Now I want to say something that is obvious in the story, but I want to make sure we hear it. The landowner kept going out to get workers. When he went in the morning and he hired workers and he sent them out. But on his mind, get this now, on his mind, I know it doesn't say it in here, but why else would he have gone back at 9 a.m? On his mind, I need more workers. And so he goes back to the marketplace and here's some more that weren't there at the first time, and he saw them and he snagged them and he sent them out. So now he's back at home and he's thinking, I need more workers. So he goes back at noon. Scripture says he went back at noon. I mean, he wouldn't have gone back if he didn't need more workers. Is that all right? So he goes back at noon. Here's some more, snags them, sends them out. He goes back home. I could use some more. He goes back, grabs the one at 3 o'clock, sends them out. I think it also says 5 o'clock. So I'm wanting to make a point. Finding workers is on the mind of the landowner. I mean, let's just forget for a while what we get out of it. Let's forget for a while some kind of moral message about quit complaining that you didn't get what somebody else got. Just set that aside right now. Set your mind on this fact. The landowner, I got to get workers because the harvest is ready. It's ready. And if I don't have enough workers, I'm not going to be able to get everything in that I need to get in. I've got to go get more workers. In fact, he was surprised when he got there at 9 o'clock, guys that were there who weren't there in the morning, and he said to them, what are you doing? Nobody was here to hire us. Well, come on, send them out here. Did the same, it says he did the same. Noon, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. The landowner needs workers. Say that. The landowner needs workers. And another place he said it this way, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers. Pray, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers. Now, I don't really want you to feel guilty about what I'm going to say, but own it if you need to. If I went around and said, we're taking a prayer list here, Brother Pastor, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Went around the room. Most likely, not so much now that I've started this sermon, but most likely, I'm not going to hear anybody say, oh, I'm praying for workers. I'm praying that the Lord will send out workers. We're praying for Aunt Martha. They're serious prayers. I don't mean they're not important. I do not mean that. I do not mean that. We have families with prodigal children whose lives are a living hell. We have habits and hang-ups and hurts. We got serious stuff we're praying about. I do not deny that at all. I'm just saying, workers, workers, workers doesn't really seem to be on our list very much. You own what part of that you need to own. I wrote kind of a prayer to follow that verse. Let me read it to you. It's what I've been praying lately. The verse, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into his harvest. So here's my prayer. Dear Lord of the harvest, considering the relationship that we have, me and him, feel free to put your name in there, and all that you have done for me, the incarnation, the years of ministry, sweating drops of blood in the garden, the suffering, the cross, the giving of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, new life, transformation, mercy, adoption, grace, freedom, sanctification, considering the relationship that we have. Why not send me? You know, when we think about the disciples and those early stories of his calling to them, two guys are out fishing. Follow me and I'll teach you to fish for people. They got up and left everything. Just left it. Went on down the road, beach front, I guess. Here's two more out in the boat, mending nets with their dad. Follow me. They left the nets with the dad. They began to follow him. Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. He gets up and leaves all the money, starts following. This idea, see, of being disciples and this thing about calling and thing about workers, it sometimes gets mixed up in that visual of leaving everything. I mean, we couldn't just leave everything, so maybe it's got to be somebody else. I mean, I've got a job, I've got a house, I've got bills to pay, I've got responsibilities, I've got children in school, We got all this stuff, and if we were to just walk away from it all, there would be, I don't know, financial ruin. There would be debt. They'd come take the house. I'd be abandoning my wife. I'd be abandoning my children. I can't just walk away. I mean, I know he needs workers, but it's got to be somebody else that can do something, because I'm just kind of stuck. I feel that a little bit in Illinois. I do not want to live in the state of Illinois. I'm ready to vacate that place as quick as I can for all the reasons you can imagine. But 5 of my 6 grandchildren live in that town. I'm stuck. You follow what I mean? But here's some stuff you're not stuck on. You really could carve up your time a little bit different to check in on the neighbor. You really could, like, make some changes on who you sit with at lunch. I mean, we all usually sit with the people we like. Okay. We all usually do not sit with the people we don't like. Let's just do it that way. That don't mean, I started to say so-and-so, but then I wasn't sure you would like that, and then now I've said it. But that fuddy-duddy. You know, maybe he's that way because he's got a lot of stress, strains, and maybe he brought them all on himself. But it sure would help him, I'm telling you, for somebody to just go sit with him, help him through it. Now, that's not like leaving your job. That's not the same as leaving your dad in the boat with the nets. It's not like walking away from the tax table. I mean, the issue of, wasn't it Peter who said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We've left everything to follow you. Everything. We've left everything to follow you. Why can't we know where you're going? We've left everything. Now there was a time back then when you could kind of leave everything and start over. Not so much now. But don't get your understanding of disciples and workers mixed up with the time frame in which you live. There are some things you could rethink. Like, oh, I don't know. I'm getting out here on the limb, and so just blame him if you don't like this. I didn't mean that. Like, you know, maybe you could spend some of your vacation time working to rebuild somebody else's house. I've seen them. The farther up this part of the state you get, it's not totally uncommon to see somebody has framed in the house and has the outside, come on, construction guys, I need you to help me. It's that, huh? Tar paper and whatever, you know. But they just hadn't had time to put the wood up. They hadn't had time to set the brick up. They had, however they're going to, you've seen them. They're like this. You get about halfway up the state of Wisconsin, it's the same way. You get up towards Minnesota, it's the same way. I'll go back a year later, it's the same way. You could carve out some of your vacation time to go help them get that done. Build some relationship. Why in the world are you doing this to help me? Why are you doing this to help me? Because I want to be nice. I want to be kind. By the way, that's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. You're whipping a little Holy Spirit on them. And when The Holy Spirit shows up. It's staggering. I know what that guy would say. He'll be sitting down at McDonald's with the guys. You're not going to believe this, but Bill Smith came over and gave a week of his vacation. Can you believe that? God gets praise for that. Workers, workers, workers. We're needing workers. I'm trying to recruit some workers. Some people who would begin to see the business of expanding the footprint of the kingdom of God in a different way. See, it's not like saying, going knocking on that guy's door. I know your house needs to be finished. If you'll come over here to our Sunday school, maybe in about 10 years, we'll do that for you. You laughed at the wrong time. You should have said, ouch. Because that's what we do. We just put it off. We just say, y'all come over here. We got a lot of love over here. Come over here. The building's open. These hours. These are the hours we're open. You come over here. Get in here. We have clean restrooms. We have good nursery. We have a gymnasium now. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I was commenting on it to your pastor today. Just beautiful. You know what he said? He said, they built it. That's what he said. If you helped to build this, raise your hand. This room here. Yeah. You know how to do this. You know how to do this stuff. You could rearrange your time a little bit to go, I don't know, do you think there's any young couples who are trying to make it, they don't have much money, they're going to have a vegetable garden to make it through, they're going to have a good vegetable garden, and they could plant that garden real easy if they didn't have those 17 children they have. Gee whiz, you think you could take a couple of days, workers, to go over there and help somebody who needs a garden? Anybody in here know how to plant a garden? I don't know. I may be totally off, but I don't think I am. Workers. We're needing workers. We're needing workers. Now, I know we need workers in Cuba, and we need workers in Ghana, and we need workers in Russia, and we need workers in France, and we need workers in all these places that we go to. What's the name of this county? We need workers in this county. I'm hoping by the help of the Holy Spirit to inspire you. To go to work. For the kingdom of God. Put your hand to the plow. You say, well, preacher, I'm too old to plant a garden. Okay. But you're not too old to call them to find out what kind of seeds they need. And you're not too old to go down to whatever, wherever you buy seeds and buy them the seeds. And you're not too old to take the seeds over to them. You're not too old to do that. I mean, I know it's getting down on your knees and digging and doing all that stuff. I don't, it's harder for me than it used to be. I had the most, the busiest October I've had in a long time. And I'm very grateful for that. But let me tell you what bad thing happens when you're busy and you're gone a lot. The honey-do list gets incredibly long. Are you hearing me? You guys know what I mean. And there's stuff on that list that requires me to get on my knees to do it. And it hurts. So I know some of the pain of the knees. I'm just telling you, you don't have to get on your knees to find out what kind of seeds they need. Who said that? I didn't even hear it. What did you say? Knee pads. All right. All right. Some need knee pads. If you think you're too old to bend over, do you know where you can buy them knee pads? There you go. Yeah. Listen, you're getting it. Here. The Lord of the harvest needs you to get it here. The Lord of the harvest needs you to get it here. My evangelistic work used to be more revivalistic. Let's try to talk about your spiritual needs. Fear or bad habits or surrender. You know, all those good revival words. I'm kind of in the mood now these days to try to ratchet up your busyness for Him. And this is what I've found out. When you're busy for Him, a whole lot of good work goes on in your soul. Problems that were plaguing you, somehow they seem to have less grip on you. Attitudes like I sometimes have, sour grapes. The joy of helping just seems to trump that to the point that it's just not even a matter anymore. It just flat feels good. In fact, I have often said, and I'll say it again right now, do not underestimate the joy, the sheer joy that comes from being obedient to what the Father wants you to do, even if it is buying seeds at the hardware store. There is sheer joy that follows. I bought the seeds. Here they are. I'll wait for the amens. I know it's going to take over here. I'll wait for them. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Workers. I want you to think for a moment. I believe we're living in this prophetic age when the Lord speaks. I think it's absolutely possible. Actually, I think it's probable that the Spirit of God would say to you what you could be doing and to whom you could be doing it specifically. In this room, He could say that to you today in this room in the next 5 minutes. I think that much of the power of the Word of God. you could just ask. I had an experience a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. I've not told it in public since it happened. And so what I've found, Pastor, is that sometimes I have to tell a story about six or seven times to kind of get down the hook line and all that. So this is the first time. It's not like the preaching you do where you've got to be fresh every week. Pastor Ben, it's not like the preaching you do. I travel, so I get to shoot a gun every time or two again, you know. So, but here's the story. I was in this seminar. It was at a national prayer gathering, and in the afternoon we broke out into small groups, and I went into this room, and there were probably 200 people in the room. And while I may have known a few of them in there, most of them I didn't know. And I certainly didn't know the guy sitting in front of me. He had four kids there, and his wife was there. And it had been a tough week on those kids. They couldn't keep up with all this praying, and they were sleeping. They were out of it. And but Dad was awake, and Mom was awake, and the guy was speaking. And then he said, "Now I've saved the last 15 minutes. He said, I want you to pair off with somebody you do not know, you've never met. I want you to pair off." So I didn't know the guy in front of me. So he turned around and I said, "Let's pair off." And so he said, "All right." Now, then this guy said, the guy who was speaking said, "Put your hands on each other." So I put my hand and he there and we're holding on. And he said, "I'm going to pray." And he said, "While I pray, I want you to ask God what I'm praying." And he said, he commences to praying. And he is asking God to tell, now get this now. I'm going to touch you just to make the illustration here. He is asking, he is wanting me to pray to ask God, to ask God what I need to say to him. And asking him to ask God what I need. Now, I've never met him before. I mean, I have him, but this guy. All right. So there's like pressure. Here I am at a prayer retreat. And I've got like 5 minutes to come up with something that is unknown about this guy. Whew. I'm nervous about this. So he said, "Amen." And then he said, "Now one of you go first." So it came to me. Did I tell you I've never met this guy? Did I say that to you? You got that down now? Are you dealing with a call to ministry and a change in profession? He said, "Yes, that's why we're here this week. We're trying to settle this out." I said, "Well, I don't know any of the details, but I know this. God just told a total stranger that this is on your heart, and you ought to think about what that means, that he would say to me what you need to hear." What do I do with that? What do I do with that experience? Everybody in that room, 200 of us, so 100 people, and now 100 others. Now, I talked so much, the guy never got a chance to speak back. Some of you are going to ask what he say to you. I know, but I'm a little talky. Have you figured that out? Now, I either say, "That didn't happen," or I say, "It's coincidence." Or I say, "God told me what to say." And if I think God told me what to say, then I can also think God will tell you what to do, worker. And he will tell you who to do it to, worker. All that praying we do, help me to surrender this, help me to do this, fix this, God, bless this, heal this. We could also say, what do you want me to do? And who do you want me to do it to? And the Spirit of God will just say it. He would just say it right in your soul. The workers, he went back at 9 o'clock. He said, what are you doing here? That's going to be a rough question. We get to heaven. What are you doing here? Well, nobody told me. Nobody told me. Maybe. We need to ask. Maybe. Revival in the thumb is going to kick into a higher gear because there's a group of folk who decided they were going to just believe that God would direct them. And they were just going to ask God, how can I be your hands? How can I be your feet? How can I use my backbone? How can I loan my tools out? How can I, how, what? Well, that's all I got to say this morning. I'm not quite sure what your pleasure is. I don't know if some of you want to come and pray before you go home. If some of you feel like the Lord is saying to you, I want you to come and pray about this. Calling you. I want you to come to pray. I don't know if you're willing to say, he's speaking to me. I don't know if you realize what that would do for the rest of us to see you say, God wants to talk to me about being a worker. How much momentum it would give us. You ever been in a service where between the second and third hymn, somebody stands up and says, can't go any farther, Pastor. Can't go any farther. I've got to give testimony to what God has done for me. You ever been in a service like that? Did that help you? It's the same way here. It's the same way here. Anybody want to come and pray? Got a few spots here. Places. Are your knees bad? You can sit right here on these chairs. Talk to God. He met with Jesus in the desert. He can meet with you in this town, in this room. Seats or knees, whichever you want. Anybody else? Come and pray. Come and pray. This is how we're going to start this thumb zone revival. We're going to talk about working. Workers. I won't embarrass you anymore. I mean, I mean, you come, that's it. I won't be saying, okay, so what are you going to do? I won't be doing that, I promise. It's a time for you to talk with God. Actually, this is the most important part in the whole service right now. It's when you talk to Him. Anybody else? Feel free to kneel or sit, whichever you want. Anybody else? Come on if you're coming. All minds clear? Father in heaven, look down upon this place. By my count, there's six folk who said, I'll go work for you today in the vineyard. And I praise your name for that. While I have no idea of how that is going to work out in specifics, I know that you are a God who's very creative. You are a speaking God. You will lead and guide. The testimony I gave about greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world, that's a true testimony for workers too. There's nothing you're going to call us to do that we're going to have to manufacture out of our own smarts. You are God who leads us, speaks to us. I pray you'll help us. Bless each of these who have come to pray today. May they have a sense of joy and a sense of anticipation. And may they know that the one who owns the cattle on thousands upon thousands of hillsides will meet their needs and will help them as they attempt to work in His vineyard. Now, Lord, as we read the story, we know you're going to come back and get some more. We look forward to the time you send us out. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen and amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen.